Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The past few Sundays, our Old Testament readings have focused on the wilderness wanderings of the children of Israel. The excitement and the exhilaration of the miraculous Exodus is long past. Some people were even beginning to feel that slavery in Egypt would be preferable to this journey that was beginning to feel like it was going nowhere fast and was going to last forever. Did you know that according to Google Maps, it would have taken 164 hours to walk from Cairo to Jerusalem? And that's on the current road system, which is not even a straight line. So theoretically, this journey from Egypt to the Promised Land could have been accomplished in less than a month. So why 40 years of wandering in the wilderness? I heard someone once say that it would have only taken a month to get Israel out of Egypt, but it took 40 years to get Egypt out of the Israelites. After having been in Egypt for 400 years, Israel had gotten enculturated into a world that worshipped the pharaohs, had forgotten that the God of Joseph had saved the country, and in fact, had gotten hostile to the Israelites, a culture that had attempted genocide on them and enslaved them as a control measure. It's hard to imagine a more horrible existence. So it's shocking when they start telling Moses that they would have rather died in Egypt than been on this wilderness journey. One could assume that in the absence of a compass or a clearly marked road, that they just got lost. Except for one thing. We are told that they were led by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire at night. God was leading them, and God clearly did not lead them in a straight line from Egypt to Israel. From a transportation perspective, there was nothing efficient in how God got them there. Obviously, God had a plan and a purpose that the people just didn't understand. A plan and a purpose that was about more than just getting them from point A to point B geographically. In the confirmation curriculum I'm using this year, the author refers to this time as the wilderness school. There were things that people needed to learn before settling down into the new life that God was leading them to. They complained about a lack of water, and God provided water from a rock. They complained about a lack of food, and they got manna and quail. They tried to hoard some extra manna, and they found out that God was interested in forging in them a trust for their daily bread. They were told to collect extra on the sixth day, and they learned obedience. At least some of them had a very dismal Sabbath day that week because they didn't bother to collect the extra manna on the sixth day. And they learned the concept of Sabbath rest, rest in the Lord. Moses went up the mountain and came down with the Ten Commandments, a whole new covenant between God and his people. And in the process, God was introducing a program of character development for a people whose lives in the Promised Land were to express faithfulness to that covenant. And in expressing faithfulness to that covenant, were intended to show the nations the greatness of God. In today's text, we see that Moses understands totally that this new life, this covenant, is less about rules and more about relationship. He realizes that there is no point in going anywhere unless God was going to be with them. The distinctiveness of the Israelites as a people of God would be the presence of God with them. Moses goes so far as to say, "If your presence will not go, do not carry us from here." In other words, if you're not going, we're not going. I find myself envying the people of Israel who had a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. God's direction was clear and unambiguous. Often in my life, it feels as though the signs and the direction are much less clear. The process of discernment is much more challenging than simply looking up to see which direction the cloud is floating off in. Nevertheless, God's promise remains as true today as it was 4,000 years ago. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. God promises over and over again, "I will never leave you or forsake you." God says, "I know the plans I have for you, plans for a future and a hope." Moses obviously had a great relationship with God because he goes so far as to say, "I want to see you. I want to see you." Or was he having a doubtful moment, kind of going, "Are you really here? I guess we'll never know." But Moses wanted to see God, and God lets Moses see God's backside. He says, "If you see my face, you won't live." The disciples got to see God in the flesh, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. When I was in college, I used to say that I just wished that God's will would be expressed on a neon sign floating down from heaven. But that is not how God is operating these days. Today, we have the Word and the Spirit and the community of faith around us. And we have the same call that the Israelites did, to live out of trust in God and obedience to God's direction as best as we can discern it. We are all on a journey as individuals and as a congregation, and we all know what happens in the midst of a long journey. At least all of you who are parents know this really well. Inevitably, there is a chorus that comes from the back seat of the car. "Are we there yet?" It's echoed in the Psalms every time we hear the words, "How long, O Lord?" And like the Israelites, it's easy to succumb to impatience and to fear along the way. The wilderness was a school that taught the Israelites that life was about getting up every morning and following the direction that God had for them on that day. To trust each day that God would provide what was needed, and to trust that God would eventually get them to where they needed to go. To trust God's promise, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." We may not be there, wherever there is, yet, but God promises that he is with us, and that we can trust him to get us to the destination that he has planned for us. Amen.